Because it's also triumph. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim, and a flaming sword which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. And so begins the sordid history of mankind, and the pain and tragedy of the woman and the seed of the woman. Now we know from the creation of Eve that she was taken from the side of man. We speak of a sidekick. Well, in the truest sense, Eve was Adam's sidekick. Now, after the fall, Adam calls his wife's name Eve because the name means a giver of life. It's kind of interesting that in Hebrew, mother is Ame, and it's kind of interesting that in Chinese, it's Ama. That name just sort of persists in the human race. But there's something very interesting here. We're told that Eve was beguiled. That word beguiled means to be deceived. And she says that to the Lord. The serpent beguiled me. The serpent deceived me. That's a little bit different than sinning with what the scripture calls a high hand. You probably know from other places in the scripture that there was no sacrifice for sins done with a high hand. Well, that makes it a particularly serious matter. There was nothing that could be sacrificed to assuage that sort of guilt. Well, Eve was beguiled. And there's something else operative here as well. And I know I've been over this so many times we should know it. But in the book of Romans, in chapter 5, we find something out that is rather instructive concerning the sin of Eve. Do you remember what that was? Death passed upon all men, even upon them that had not sinned after the similitude of what? Adam's sin. Adam did what he did with his eyes wide open. He knew exactly what it was that he was doing. Eve actually was deceived. She actually was beguiled. Now, it's true that she succumbed to the temptation, but you'll notice that there was a two-pronged approach here that Satan uses on her. First one thing, and then the next thing. Now, the serpent, verse number one, was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. This is his opening ploy. Why do you suppose he opens with, yea, hath God said?
He wanted to put confusion in her mind or question.
Okay. Could we use the word doubt?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would this work? We said a moment ago that Adam did what he did with a high hand. He knew exactly what it was that he was doing. I doubt that he realized the gravity of its outcome, but he knew what he was doing. How would Satan be able to create doubt in the mind of Eve? Because if he'd said this to Adam, what do you suppose the response would have been? Of course. Why would Adam be able to say that, but Eve wouldn't? What about Eve? She didn't. She heard it from Adam. She heard it secondhand, if you will. It was something that Adam had told her. She didn't actually hear God say it. That's why the scripture says, even for those that have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's sin. And Adam's sin was of what manner? Pardon? With a high hand. with eyes open, knowing what it was that he did. So there was an opportunity for doubt here. Can you see that? Do you suppose that Eve was thinking, maybe I misunderstood my husband? Maybe he just didn't thoroughly explain this. Maybe God said something to him concerning the matter, and maybe I heard it wrong.
Or maybe she just didn't think it was that important.
Well, she might not have, but don't forget that she does say in verse number 3, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, some people look at that and say, neither shall you touch it, that she added those words. But is there another possibility? Now, this is conjecture, I know. But is there another possibility?
Sure. It's the woman knowing what the man's supposed to say, but he didn't actually say it out loud.
Neither shall you touch it, lest you die? It could be implied. Maybe Adam implied that. Maybe she didn't, as a lot of commentators would say, make this up out of whole cloth. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, there's doubt there. Now, do you suppose that Satan stops with instilling doubt in a human mind? Oh, he's an expert at it, but notice I said this was a two-pronged attack. Now we see the second prong in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now what's happened? We've gone from doubt to denial. Notice that Satan doesn't say, God never said that. That should have made her suspicious. But when somebody is beguiled, are they suspicious? Not really. So immediately he brings in number 2 of a 1-2 punch here. You'll not surely die. Who's he calling a liar here? He's calling God a liar. Absolutely. And then he goes on to say, verse number 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, little g, knowing good and evil. Now, he's not a full disclosure devil, as I've often said. Is this true? Ye shall not surely die. Is a lie. But is this true?
Well, they get to know the consequences of good and evil.
Maybe they do know both good and evil, but then in their fallen state they can undo evil.
Mm-hmm. And where do you suppose this little g God's business comes from? Yeah, he did. The scripture tells us that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. I'll exalt my throne. Yes. I'll be like the Most High. Yes, he did say that. But he says, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you think that capital G God knows good and evil? Of course he does. He knows everything. But here we have little g gods. God wouldn't have to find something out, would he? But what Satan's saying here implies that somebody is going to discover good and evil. And it isn't even experiencing it. It says knowing good and evil, that there's a difference. That implies that Eve was innocent. If she didn't know good and evil, then she was in a state of innocence. But Satan is suggesting here that if you do as I have suggested, you'll be as little g gods, knowing good and evil. Have you ever asked yourself, how did he know that? That's a good question, isn't it?
Because he's been down this road.
Oh, yes, he's already been down this road. But is he the only one?
No. A multitude fell there.
Of course, we learn that in the book of Revelation, don't we? A third of those created beings we call angels followed Satan in his rebellion against God. Did they know good and evil? Of course, they knew it experientially, didn't they? Because they had rebelled against God. Now, it'd be a matter of conjecture whether the holy angels know the difference between good and evil, but we know these fallen ones did. That's how Satan, who was their leader, was able to suggest to Eve, you'll become like us. You'll be like us, us little g, us fallen beings, because you too will be a fallen being. Do you suppose that Satan knew just where to strike? I'm leaving a strategic pause here. Sometimes we think that the devil is dumb, but he's actually very good at what he does. He's a possessor of a vast intelligence. As a matter of fact, when we look at those scriptures that I referred to a moment ago, when God is referring to him, he says he was filled with wisdom.
And he probably really watched Adam and Eve, really.
Of course. If you're going to strike, do you strike at the strong point of the enemy? And why do you suppose that Satan wanted to strike at mankind to begin with?
Because he hated what God loved.
Exactly. Do you think that he realized that man was the pinnacle of God's creation? Do you think that Satan was one of those that actually watched the creation unfold and sang with joy with the rest of the sons of God, which in the Old Testament is always a term for the angels, never man? All the sons of God sang for joy. So we knew he wasn't fallen at that point, but some point subsequent to that, he did. So now what does he know? Those two on that created earth in that garden are the apple of God's eye. It isn't us. We were created to be servants. He created those two for fellowship. The scripture doesn't say anywhere that any angel was created in the image of God. So he realized that. Makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? Then he decides to strike at the weakest point. Eve wasn't there. She didn't hear God say, so let's plant doubt. Adam wouldn't have had any doubt. He heard it. He was an ear witness to the command. Isn't that interesting? Satan uses the eyes, but God, it's always hearken. Faith cometh by and hearing by. Isn't that something? It's kind of an interesting thing when you stop and think about it. So, we find here now that Eve has fallen, Adam's gone with her. I'm not going to comment on that because that's not the object for this morning. But you've heard sermons on that before. Why did Adam do what he did? No, that's going to come later. So, what does God say to the serpent? Well, first of all, he curses the animal. But in cursing the animal, who is he really cursing? Is it actually this animal, the serpent, that cooks this plan up? No, it's pretty obvious that there's a power behind this serpent. Well, God says in verse number 15 something very interesting here. He said, I'll put enmity. And what is enmity? What is that?
It's to be an enemy.
Yes. I'll make enemies between you and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Now, do you suppose Eve is listening pretty intently at this point? She may not know what to make out of this, but do you think that she heard what God said to Satan?
No, she did because of the name of Cain.
Exactly. Sure. Isn't this interesting? Between thy seed, who's the thy here?
Her.
No.
Oh, okay.
Pardon? Yes. Does that mean Satan has seed? That's interesting. And her seed. That's interesting, because didn't God tell Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, like is in seeds as of many? But here it's used in the singular. Thy seed, Satan's seed, singular, and Eve's seed, seed of the woman, singular. Now, this is a declaration of war. Make no mistake about it. God here has declared war. Whose side do you suppose God's on? The woman's side, or the side of the human race. And who's on the other side? Satan and his hosts. But as I said a moment ago, this is singular. What do we make of that? Because there's a whole lot of little devils running around out there.
And we're not even talking about the human kind.
Well, there's some involvement even there, sad to say. What do you suppose this is pointing to? That's a declaration of war, but it's also a declaration of how the war is going to end, is it not? So what do you suppose this means? Exactly. Not seeds as of many, but seed as of one, Christ. The seed of the woman. Born of a woman, made under the law. Son of Man, his favorite title for himself, our kinsman redeemer, the seed singular of the woman. Well, that leads us to wonder, what about this other seed? Singular. Yeah, but more than Antichrist, that's already come up in Sunday school. There are many Antichrists. And somebody said, no, I mean the Antichrist. No, you still haven't gone quite far enough. Christ was our near kinsman, born of a woman, the Gael. What does the Antichrist become at the midst of the week? I know I rushed through Revelation and you probably missed the point. The beast. Now the beast is personally indwelt by somebody. Satan. Christ is personally indwelt by somebody. In fact, is somebody. God himself. He's the express image of his person. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the seed of the woman. Now, since there's a declaration of war here, do you suppose we're looking at the beginning of a real problem? Being as how this has been 6,000 maybe years ago, and we're still here? It's going to be a real problem, isn't it? There's going to be war. Do you suppose Satan is going to throw up his hands and say, well, I've already lost. I'm headed for a neutral corner. There are no neutral corners. Not in this war. So what do you suppose Satan now begins to busy himself to do? Already, you should have perceived that there's a target, a prime target. Because God has already said it's going to be the seed of the woman versus your seed. So what do you suppose his first move is going to be? Pardon?
Try to kill the seed.
The seed hasn't shown up yet. That's a few thousand years down the road.
To put doubt in the mind that there's even God?
Well, yes. That's an attack.
Yeah.
But look at the battle lines being drawn here. Right there in verse number 15. I'm going to make enemies between your seed and her seed, and there's going to be war. Well, the seed singular hasn't shown up yet.
So he's going to try to get more seed out of the human race himself.
Well, yes, he's done that. But put yourself in the garden. You're standing right there watching this scene unfold. What's Satan's first move going to be? It's simple. What do you do to stop the seed from coming? Kill the woman. This is really simple, isn't it? Kill the woman. If you kill the woman, what have you done? You killed the seed with the woman, didn't you? Do you suppose God is going to stand there and allow Satan to kill Eve? Do you suppose he really wants to? Do you think God has put a supernatural protection here? And yet, because of what she's done, God has told her, you're going to have a lot of trouble between now and the appearance of the seed, and even after the appearance of the seed, you're going to have a lot of trouble. Where do you suppose those troubles are going to come from? Look at verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. What's the word and as a part of speech? A conjunction. That conjuncts two ideas. What? Or two things. sorrow and conception. Oh, yeah, there was that Cain and Abel thing, and that's only the beginning. Was Cain the seed of the woman?
He was a seed, not the seed.
Was he a seed of the woman? Now, wait a minute. Be careful. He was born of a woman. Of course. He proved that when he killed his brother, did he not? What did God do? Remember, they're enemies. A war's being fought. Satan is wringing his hands with glee. I've shut this problem down. Not so fast there, Mr. Devil. Eve gets to have another child. Oh, joy! And on it goes. Aren't you glad that God put a supernatural stop to that when the seed came? Finally, the promised seed. Because Mary, she got a free ride. None of this stuff came on her. And so it has been. Can you see that it's Satan's plan to destroy the woman? It always has been since the Garden of Eden. And just because Christ has already ascended into the heavens and Satan failed to destroy the woman that brought forth the seed, even though in the immediate circumstance he tried to stop it. What do you celebrate every Christmas? The birth of Christ, but there's some things that surround the birth of Christ. Like what? Pardon? What was Satan doing to try to destroy that right up to the last minute? He never quits. Before that?
Having all the babies
killed? Yeah. The three wise men. Yeah, how do you suppose their moms felt about that? Never thought about that. Ah, that's my purpose here, is to make us think about that just for a moment. And what about Joseph himself? What was put into his mind to do? Yeah, to put her away. It never stops, does it? Well, after Christ ascended into heaven, the devil must have realized the game's over. So now he can take a break. You know, we could spend another hour talking about the miseries of women just since the crucifixion of our Lord. Because Christianity fixed all that problem. Actually, it made a huge difference. What difference did Christianity make in this war on women? You know, they always talk about a war on women. There is a war on women, but not the way they're presenting it. Did Christianity have an impact? Of course. What did Jesus himself teach concerning the institution of marriage and women?
That husbands are to value us as their bride.
Paul points that out, doesn't he? Paul takes you right back to the Garden of Eden, the institution of marriage where God instituted it. Did it make a difference? Where did it make a difference? Was there any difference, like, let's say, between the women in Christian Europe when it was Christian and women in the Muslim countries that are still Muslim? Absolutely. Pardon?
One was property.
Yeah, chattels, property. That's the way it was in the Gentile nations too, before Christianity came. So now Satan's got another problem, doesn't he? Does he still hate women? Is he still involved in a war with women and their seed? So what's his master stroke today? Pardon? Well, not just... Exactly! There's a war on women. Pardon?
There's no difference between a man and a woman.
Not only is there no difference, but I think it goes even further than that, doesn't it?
Well, you said, what is the war now?
Yeah.
The only difference is in Adam. That's
good. That's what they say. Male sodomites are disgusting, but do you suppose there's something even more disgusting about female sodomites? Do you think that that's an even greater affront to God? When you stop and think about it, what does he say back here in the Garden of Eden? The seed of the woman? How else does he prosecute the war on women? You kind of got halfway to it by saying there's no difference. What did God say concerning the order in Genesis that Satan is trying to throw the other way today?
And thy desire shall be to thy husband.
And he shall rule over thee. That's the natural order of things. So how does Satan prosecute that war today? He tries to turn it around with the women ruling over the men. Well, I have a question for you. How has that worked throughout human history? It's very prevalent today in the West. Every nation that has ever had the women in charge has come to what? What happened to rule Britannia? Just throwing a question out. Yes, the French say it's a good thing. Who could trust an Englishman in the dark? But what was one of the hallmarks that told you it's all over for them? They had a woman as a prime minister, or have we forgotten that already? Why did they have to have a woman as a prime minister? And if you look in history, this same theme repeats over and over with the same consequence. Because the men wouldn't step up to the plate and take the place that God put them in. So you got to at least give the women credit for giving it a try. But it can't work because it's out of God's order. What did we just narrowly miss? Oh, and look at the example that we had there. Would that not have been wonderful? Jezebel got nothing on Hillary Clinton. Nothing. But she's the people's choice. Can you see that Satan is still prosecuting a war on women? What's the only place that a woman can be happy? When she's in God's place that He created for her? And what's the only place that a man can be happy in? In the place that God created for him? And if somebody attempts to upset that order, what happens? All you have to do is pick up a newspaper. And who do you think is behind it? First, Satan is behind getting men to abuse women, and then he turns the tables. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. What do you suppose is the worst possible consequence? When maybe the men and the women are both out of their place? Satan must be wringing his hands with glee. But you know, I read the last chapter. We won.
We gained.
We won. Yep. Male and female created he them. Man, the pinnacle of his creation. Let's pray.